All right, I invite you to take your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6 here this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Last week we looked at Bible study or Bible reading in relation to our walk with God. This week I want for us to complete the communication process with God by taking a look at prayer. As we understand this, I do not believe that prayer is simply just asking and receiving. There's a popular book by John R. Rice. It's entitled Asking and Receiving, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. I don't believe that's just what prayer is, because if we're not careful, we begin looking at God as a vending machine in the sky. God, here's my request. I'm expecting an answer. Here's my request. I don't believe that's what prayer is all about. I believe it's a communication process, even as I mentioned last week. Now, notice with me Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. We'll look at this context in a couple of different times here this morning. Notice here it says in Matthew chapter 6, in fact, let's look at the context here. Verse 6 talks about prayer. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So he's talking about not being like the hypocrites in verse 5, standing on the street corner. Now, I don't believe this is forbidding us praying publicly. I don't believe that's what this is all about. This is talking about motives here in Matthew chapter 6. The motive is, I want to be seen praying. And of course, the Pharisees would have a trumpet, whenever they would give their gifts. And, anytime they would, in fact, it says in verse 5, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." And again, that's their motive. They're announcing to everybody, I'm praying, listen to my prayer. Of course, Luke tells us the kind of prayers they said, "I thank God that I'm not as," that's the kind of prayers they were giving. Now, notice it says in verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now, I believe this is a reference to similar things like that today as far as doing Hail Marys, praying through rosary beads. That's the vain repetition. Hail Mary, thou, again, as the Hail Marys go. But it's also like the Buddhist who will give a chant and a mantra and all those things trying to get the attention of the gods. Again, we're to not pray like that. Let me just ask you though, how routine are you in your prayer life? You sit down to the meal. I know how this goes. You sit down to the meal and you pray a prayer and you're eating. You're just like, did we pray? It's so routine you forget whether or not you prayed. But notice here again, we're to not do those kinds of things. It says in verse 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." So here's the question I want for us to consider this morning. If God already knows before I pray, why pray? If God already knows what I'm going to request of him, why do we pray? You think about that. Why do we pray? And I believe this goes back to what I've been emphasizing. We're not talking about just giving God some requests. God, here's what I need, here's what I want. If that's our prayer life, that becomes so routine and so boring. And yet, on the other hand, if I can have a relationship with the God of heaven, that raises things another level. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that here this morning. If God already knows what I need before I ask, why pray? But again, we're talking about a relationship. First of all, I want for us to consider this morning the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. Notice with me Ephesians chapter 6. Prayer, I believe, is one of the most important things we can do in our lives. And yet it doesn't seem urgent unless we're going through a storm like we've been talking about in Sunday mornings. If it's not urgent, then I wonder, do I really need to go through this process of prayer? And again, I want for us to understand the importance of prayer. Sometimes the most important things are not the most urgent of things. You ever notice that in your life? The tyranny of the urgent? The emergency is urgent. But my prayer life just does not seem so urgent. But again, I want for us to consider that it is one of the most important things we can do in our lives. Ephesians 6:18, praying how often? Always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, I believe every word in the Bible is there for a reason. Notice it says, always praying. So again, talking about the importance of that. Always praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are to be praying for all saints, not just those who are my friends. Notice again, we're talking about the importance of the priority of prayer. Colossians chapter 4. Just a few pages further. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Here Paul tells the church at Colossae, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now, if there's one prayer request as your pastor that I'm asking you to pray for your preacher, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. The preaching of God's word, that's one of the most important prayer requests that I have of this church. That the word of God would go forth in freedom, in liberty. Let me just mention some other verses here. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. All right, so does that mean I don't go to work? So I'm supposed to be praying all the time, right? That means I can't go to bed because I'm supposed to be praying all the time. I can't pray and sleep at the same time. In fact, you know, the Lord had some negative things to say about the disciples praying when he wanted them, or sleeping, I should say, when he wanted them praying. Praying without ceasing. What do we mean by that? Praying without ceasing. One evangelist that we've heard said it's like getting God on the phone in the morning and shouldering the phone throughout the day. Now, we live in an age of cell phones. So you're constantly ready to get a text from God, right? Is that the modern terminology of that? We are to pray without ceasing. We are to constantly be looking for an opportunity to be in prayer with the Lord. Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer. One example of this that comes to my mind is Charlie Noble. Charlie Noble was a friend, Charlie and Vera Noble were friends up in Des Moines, Iowa. And when my parents were Abilene, Texas, I was 16, maybe 17 at this time. They paid a visit down in Abilene, Texas. And Charlie was making some contact with our neighbor. He's an atheist across the street, and he was trying to win him to the Lord and all that. And well, after Charlie and Vera headed back to Iowa, after visiting us there in Texas, our neighbor, if I remember right, his name was Bill, was out working in the yard, and all of a sudden he had a heart attack, and literally they found out he dropped dead just right there. But after we found out about it, with the ambulance pulled up in front of their house and all that, my dad said, call Charlie. Charlie would want to know. So I called Charlie up, and here's what Charlie said. We'll get on it right now. We'll get on it right now. This is before any of us knew that he had already passed away. But Charlie says, I'm going to get on it right now. I believe that's what the Bible is talking about, being instant in prayer. Instantly going to prayer. That's why we've got to keep the prayer lanes open, the prayer line open with the Lord. Also, Luke 18, verse 1 says, Jesus says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 21, 36, watch ye therefore and pray always. Do you understand from Scripture the priority of prayer? Now, I'm going to talk briefly about this later, but notice with me Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Very familiar verses if you've been saved any time. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. Now, I want you to notice the word careful. What's the word careful mean? Okay? It actually carries the idea of a little bit further as far as this word is concerned. Be careful. Break the word down. Full of care. Careful. If I'm careful, I am full of care. In other words, I'm full of anxiety. I'm full of things that are bothering me that shouldn't, and all those things. All right, so full of care. All right, so verse 6 and 7 again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And here's one thing we forget. With thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known unto God. All right, so we are to be anxious or full of care for nothing, but in how many things? Everything. Anytime that there's any care or concern in my heart, I am to go to the Lord in prayer. You notice that? Every time, in everything, I am to take those requests before God with thanksgiving. But then it says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do we know if we have practiced that verse? If I pray about it and I'm still anxious about it, then I've not turned it over to the Lord. You see, if I'm still full of care after I've prayed to the Lord about it, then I still have not turned it over to the Lord. Let your request be made known unto God. That's why we lack peace. So again, the priority of prayer. Second of all, I want you to consider also the purpose of prayer. As I've already said, it's not just to tell God our requests. But again, it's communication with God. Let me just mention this verse to you. Proverbs 15, the end of verse 8 says, the prayer of the upright is his delight. God waits for us to spend time in prayer with him. He wants to hear us pray. So why don't we pray more? What have we seen in Revelation as far as the prayer of the saints? How are they presented to God? Anybody remember? As incense presented to God. In fact, someday the prayers of the saints, and I believe in relation to calling on God for revenge and to right wrongs and all those things, I don't believe it's wrong for God to ask God to do those things. Someday he's going to right all these wrongs. But the prayers of the saints are actually taken and by God cast out onto the earth. You think about that. Our prayers have power that I don't believe we realize. But again, it's almost like incense is presented to God's throne as a sweet incense before him. The purpose of prayer, again, is communication or relationship with God. I want you to notice with me Matthew chapter 6. I want you to see here a pattern of prayer. This is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, and I believe that's a mistitle. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not meant to be repeated. It's not the Lord's Prayer. What is the Lord's Prayer? Everybody know? John 17. John 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer when he's actually praying for his disciples and those that would be reached by them, ultimately down to us today. You don't need to turn there, but the disciples, after they heard Jesus praying in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples, after Jesus finished praying, said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Now, I think of John the Baptist as a great preacher and, prophet of God and, announcing that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming and all that. And yet, I believe as you look at Scripture, John the Baptist was a man of God as far as prayer is concerned. But the disciples wanted Jesus, on more than one occasion evidently, to teach them how to pray. So notice with me Matthew chapter 6 again, as Jesus talks about this. And a very important statement at the beginning of verse 9 is, after this manner, therefore pray ye. So in other words, we aren't to pray these words exactly. That ends up being the vain repetition in the verses just above that. Do you catch what I'm saying with that? So we're not talking about repeating this particular prayer. This is actually a pattern prayer that the Lord gives to the disciples. So in essence, we could call this the disciples' prayer. Notice it says, it starts off here, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice this. How does it start off again? Our what? Our Father. All right, so right there tells me it has to be a relationship first. How do we have a relationship with the Heavenly Father? All right, salvation, right? First and foremost, we have to have a salvation, but then also the relationship, right? Fellowship with him. So our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice it starts off with praise. It starts with, how do we normally start our prayer requests, or our prayer time off with? Lord, I need this. Lord, you really know I need this. Lord, I've been asking a long time and you still haven't given me this. That's the way our prayer life usually goes, right? How does Jesus say we're to start our prayer life off? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know what the Holy Spirit enables us to do according to Romans? The spirit of adoption enables us to say, Abba, Father. I'm adopted, even as the song we heard last week. The spirit of adoption enables me to say, Daddy. To have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. All right, so it starts off with praise. Now, I'm convinced that every dad here knows what this is all about. Daddy, you're so strong. Thank you, son. Daddy, you're so wise. You're so smart. Thank you, son. Every father wants to hear praise from their child. You think about that. How is it that we think that the perfect Heavenly Father, who deserves our praise, doesn't want to hear our praise? That's why when I go through the Bible, even as I mentioned last week, I try to recognize God's excellence, even as we talked about on Wednesday night. God's excellence, His excellent name, His glory. God dwells in glorious light. Looking at His love and all of these attributes, we are to give praise to God. Notice it goes on to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice it says in verse 10, Thy kingdom come. Now this is something we don't hear a lot about. But Matthew 6:33 says, what's our first priority? The kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what will happen then? Everything that we need will be added unto us, right? We don't have to worry about those things. The unsaved worry about, you know, the clothing and the food and all the stuff that we need, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, if that's our first priority, then why don't we hear more about it? Well, that's not as popular. You know, people want to hear about, you know, how they can have their finances right and all those things are important. But if my first priority, according to what Jesus said, is the kingdom of God, then I better hear about it. Notice again, we're emphasizing the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ will establish His kingdom upon this earth. But then notice this surrender to the will of God. What's it say at the end of verse 10? Thy what? Thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Notice here, we're talking about a surrender to God's will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do you know God's will for your life? That's what Ephesians 5 talks about. We're to have the wisdom in order to know the Lord's will, understanding the Lord's will. He wants us to know what His will is for our lives. Are you in the center of God's will today? I didn't say, are you a preacher? I didn't ask you if you... It may not be God's will for you to be a preacher. You know, if everybody's a preacher, then who's going to be in the congregation? I mean, this. Are you in the center of God's will for your life? Notice, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. A surrender to His will. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. We don't know anything about this as Americans. In fact, I want to do some research on this. I heard a preacher say here this last week as I was listening to a sermon. If you make $22,000 a year, you're in the top 4% of the world's wage earners. That grabbed my attention. Here's how we do it as Americans, though. Well, I'm not as rich as so-and-so. That's not the comparison that the Bible makes. They that be rich in this world, if you make over $22,000 a year, you're in the top 4% of the world's wage earners. Like I said, I want to do some more research on that. That grabbed my attention. So we as Americans don't understand what it is to, you know, make a dollar a week, like places in Africa. A dollar a week according to American standards. In this culture, they would have to go to work that day to make enough money to buy bread for their family at the end of the day. What do? We just walk over to the refrigerator. Ah, so eeny, meeny, miny, moe. What do I want? we don't understand this concept. Give us this day our daily bread. Do we truly trust the Lord for our daily needs? Notice again, a prayer request. Again, in this pattern prayer, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, drop down to verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Notice again, Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I don't believe it's just financial debt. If I have offended someone, then I owe them an apology, as we would say today. All right, so if we truly forgiven from our hearts, forgiveness. Also a hedge of protection, verse 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Notice this hedge of protection. Now, I think many times we go a step further than that. It's like, Lord, I'm in the middle of the temptation, now deliver me. No, we got ourselves in there. Notice again, he's talking about a hedge of protection in regarding our spiritual lives. Then he closes it off as, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So ends off with more praise. The pattern prayer. So as we understand the prayer that the Lord emphasizes, how we should pray, I believe it kind of gives us some guidelines. And let me just say that I've mentioned, even last week, ACTS. I was shown that when I was a teenager, and I've used that in various forms ever since then. What did I say A stands for? Adoration of God. Praising God for His names and His attributes. I want you to think about something. We often confuse praise and thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? Thanking God for what He has done in our lives. Sometimes that means negative circumstances as well. It's been good for me that I've been afflicted, for now I keep thy word. That's what the psalmist said. How many of us like to say that? Every time I come to that verse in Psalm 119, I'm thinking, Lord, I got a long ways to go with that one. But thanksgiving. C stands for what? Confession of sins. S stands for supplication for our needs. ACTS. That's helped me over the years. I trust it helps you as well. All right, so what are the prerequisites for prayer? What are the requirements for prayer? First of all, salvation. Ultimately, as you look at the life of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, all his prayers did with God was that they were a memorial before him. God was not able to answer his prayers. A religious person can pray all they want to. Remember the Pharisee that I mentioned a little while ago? It says that he prayed thus with himself. His prayers didn't get to heaven. The publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, was the one who was justified. All right, so first and foremost, salvation. We must place our faith in Jesus Christ before we can have a relationship in prayer with God the Father. Also, another requirement, prerequisite for prayer, is purity. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That did not say if I know that I have sinned. That said, if I regard iniquity where? In my heart. Well, spiritually, the heart is a part of the mind. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So in other words, if I know that I have impurity there, it's a barrier between me and God. Not only that, but those of us who are married, if our marriage relationship isn't right, you know what Peter says? Our prayers are hindered. That's what 1 Peter 3:7 says. In fact, I remember years ago hearing a man who's now in heaven, a preacher who's now in heaven, say, he overheard actually a Christian who he knew was having marriage problems. And he overheard this Christian saying to this missionary, I'm praying for you. And that preacher said, oh, how sad. His prayers are worthless for that missionary. Because if he can't even get along with his wife, The Bible says his prayers are hindered. They're not going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish through those things. Also, privacy. We've already seen on Matthew chapter 6, where it says that we are to go into our closet. We're to go into our closet. Where's your prayer closet? Where's your private time alone? There's a song by Ron Hamilton. My quiet time alone gives me power to obey. But a quiet time with God, it's an appointment with God. When is your appointment with God? You know, I understand that, you know, I've been in situations in my work history as a FedEx driver and all that. There's been times when my prayer time was at 5:30 in the morning on my way to work in Fort Stockton, Texas. I got in my FedEx truck at 5:30 at our house there in South Texas, and my 45, 50-minute drive to the terminal was my prayer time every day. I had my Bible reading. I listened to it. And I had my prayer list, and that was my prayer time. You know, there's times, there was hardly anybody on the road that morning, that early in the morning, too. So, I mean, it was, but there was like a 60-some mile stretch of road. And if you got going too fast around the curves, you really got praying then. But again, when's your appointment with God? When's your time? All right, also persistence. Notice me, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Persistence. I think sometimes we do not get answers to prayer because we give up praying too soon. Luke chapter 11. The Lord gives here, as he teaches the disciples on prayer, Luke chapter 11, right after he again gives the pattern prayer that we've already covered. Verse 5, notice verse 5 then. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, first of all, I want you to notice it wasn't even his request. Notice he was praying on behalf of someone else. So many times I think our prayer life is self-focused. Are we praying about the needs of others? It says here in verse 7, and he from within will answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you that though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Now, we don't necessarily see it in the English, but asking, seeking and knocking are all in the present tense. Continue asking, and it shall be given you. Seek, continue seeking, ye shall find. Knock, or continue knocking, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil or sinful, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Persistence. Are we continuing in prayer? Also, Matthew 21 talks about faith. We must continue believing that the Lord will give us what we ask. Now, with that said, notice with me 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Here's one of the aspects I think that many of the teachers of our modern day, you know, the health and wealth gospel as it's often referred to, they often forget this verse here, this passage here. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. So does that mean that I have a blank check with God? That's what Kenneth Copeland and all of them like to teach. That I have a blank check with God. I don't believe so. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what? According to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, let me ask you, is it God's will for all to be saved? Will all people be saved? No. But it is his will. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 3 says it's God's will that no one perish, but that all come to repentance. God wants to answer that prayer. That's according to his will. Now, will we necessarily see the answer to our prayer request? as we're asking God to save unsaved relatives, for example. We may not see it in our lifetime. I have known of people, and I've heard of stories, where somebody has prayed for somebody who was lost and unsaved for 40, 50 years. And it was after their death that that person finally was saved. It is God's will, so we can continue to ask. All right, let me ask you. Give us this day our daily bread. Is that a prayer request according to God's will? Well, the Lord said, ask for your needs. So those are things that we can pray for. So making sure that it is God's will. Finally, the promise of answered prayer. Notice with me, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Here we have the example of Elijah. You know, we think of Elijah, well, he was able to call down fire from heaven and all that. I can never pray like that. I want you to notice what James says about Elijah. Your prayer life can be just as powerful as Elijah's. You think about that. It says in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual or effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All right, now, first of all, there's one reason why we don't get more answers to prayer. God, if you really would like to, where's the fervency in that? Notice the effectual fervent prayer of a what? Righteous man available. So, in other words, if I want these answers to prayer, I have to be right with God also. But notice it says Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and rain not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's quite an answer to prayer. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. By the way, he prayed according to God's will. If you look at the Old Testament, God was the one who told him to pray about that. Notice also Hebrews chapter 4 as we close. Hebrews chapter 4. We have the promise of answered prayer as we pray according to God's will. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. All right, so we have an high priest seated at the right hand of God the Father. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the same ways that we are tempted. Notice we do not have to yield. We yield by choice. He was yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and what? Find grace to help in time of need. You know what that tells me? The Lord wants to hear us pray. He wants to hear us pray. Not only that, but as I pray with a sincere heart, what's he doing with my prayers? It's like an incense going up in worship to him. We have the privilege of going to the throne of grace whenever we have needs. And don't we forget to pray? You know, it's not like the Old Testament. You know, they could only go to at a certain time, and only the priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it says the veil of the temple was rent in two. It's ripped down the middle. Of course, they tried to repair it and said, oh no. What was God saying? The way in, the way to the throne of grace has been opened up to everyone. Not only that, but the Bible says we are priests. We can go boldly, not arrogantly, boldly, not flippantly, even as I said Wednesday night, hey, JC, that's blasphemy. He is still the Lord of glory. Go boldly to the throne of grace when you have need. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to again study your word about these things that we need to emphasize in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our prayer life. Strengthen our prayer life, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.